Hey, welcome back to the Black Book Podcast. For those of you who are avid listeners of my show, you know it's been a while since I posted any content, and I know I'm very sorry about this. I got something cooking that you all are going to love. Please be patient. Please hold on. Just wait. I got something cooking. It's coming up real soon. However, we're here today because I have a Black Book Podcast exclusive here. Recently, on Juneteenth, June 19th, for those of you who don't know which date that is, on Juneteenth, I was able to get an exclusive with the first annual Shanghai celebration of Juneteenth here in Shanghai. That's right, it is the first annual Shanghai celebration of Juneteenth. It was the first time Juneteenth was celebrated in Shanghai, and I was pretty excited to go there because if you guys have been following me, you guys know I kind of recently just moved to Shanghai. So, you know, it was one of those opportunities for me to go and meet like-minded people, to go and meet Black people, go and just go and be around, just people who I know I can make a connection with pretty easily. All right. But, you know, I really enjoyed myself, man, there. It was just like one of those family events at home. And for those of you who know what I'm talking about, man, it was just like, there are things going here, there are things going on over there, there are kids running around, there's, you know, there's music, you know, there's laughter, there's conversation and things like that, and there was just a ton of people. However, I call this an exclusive because I was able to sit down and interview some people who were either organizers, volunteers, participants, or people who just came to celebrate. I was able to interview. I kind of want to share what these people had to say about Juneteenth and just what they had to say in general about being Black and things like that. So, you know, we got people from all over. We have people from America. We have people from Africa. We have men. We have women. We have all of it under the sun, which is just a few interviews. But before I start sharing, let's just make this clear that yes, we as Black Americans celebrated Juneteenth here in Shanghai, here in China. It was the first annual celebration of Juneteenth here in Shanghai, and they have promised, we all have promised to do this again. It was such a great time that everyone's just really excited. Everyone's just super ecstatic about just being able to celebrate this. And on top of that, the United States finally made Juneteenth a national holiday. So now that we can actually celebrate our freedom, the true Freedom Day for all Americans is on Juneteenth. We can finally celebrate that day as a national holiday. I'm just on the road chasing my destiny. I'm just trying to be the best that I could be. My mama told me not to fall for the streets. Cause they dangerous, they'll take you underneath. I'm just on the road chasing my destiny. The people of the African diaspora are global citizens, business leaders, innovators, creatives, and everything else under the sun. We are here to focus on the things we are rather than the things we are not. Welcome to the Black Book Podcast. The dialogue on this show is an open forum to listen and learn about how we have shown growth on a global standpoint. The Black Book Podcast allows its interviewees to express opinions and experiences without judgment, so that we will move the culture forward. Without holding you any longer, this is the Black Book Podcast. I am Eric Charles. All right, you guys, we're sitting here with William D. Frazier from Brunswick, Georgia. All right, and he's one of the organizers for the first annual Juneteenth celebration in Shanghai. And I just wanted to give him a quick shout out and ask him a couple of questions, just so we can get his perspective on what Juneteenth means and what it means to him to celebrate in Shanghai. And we just got this news that Juneteenth will be a national holiday in the U.S., but obviously we're not in America, but we're still celebrating it no matter where we're from. We got people all around the country and the globe here in Shanghai with us. So I'm going to ask you, William, man, just what does it mean to you to be able to celebrate Juneteenth in Shanghai?
Well, it means a lot, Eric, to celebrate Juneteenth in Shanghai, and more on a different level, because we never had an event like this in this city that actually celebrated anything that geared towards Black Americans. Of course, you do have Black History Month, and you have Martin Luther King holiday, but there's no celebration on either one of those fronts. So to have a Juneteenth celebration in Shanghai for the very first time, it's groundbreaking. It's groundbreaking, so I'm very excited to be a part of it.
And like, you tell us just quickly, man. Like, what did it take to get this thing going?
Time.
Time.
It took time. I've been here in this country since 2002. I first came over in 2000. And like I say, this is the very first time this has ever happened. Mm. So it's the right time. Everything lined up properly for something like this to happen. It just took time.
All right. And we've heard about it from off the internet. We even had an announcement here at the event today. But just in your own words, man, what does it mean to you to have the United States finally recognize Juneteenth as a national holiday?
Whether it's a federal holiday or not, it's still our holiday.
Right.
So it's more of a symbolic gesture. What's the monetary value that comes after that? You know, because when you look at the holiday, what does it represent? It represents that we supposed to have ended slavery, but yet it's still, we have not benefited economically from it as other ethnic groups in the United States have. So for me, okay, it's a good symbolic gesture, but where's the economic impact that's going to contribute to our company, our people?
Well, you have anything else you'd like to say about Juneteenth this day or anything else?
Well, being able to have Juneteenth in Shanghai, China for the very first time is very significant. Hopefully, Black America will really take an interest in the Black Americans that actually live in the city and the wonderful things that we're doing. You know, where people have their own business, we have people like yourself doing your podcast, we have people in the education industry, we have people who work for private industry as well. And we have a wealth of knowledge about living, working, and even studying in China that our people back in America have very limited understanding about it. So the thing about this Juneteenth celebration, it's the first, it won't be the last, and it's hopefully that our people were like, really? Black Americans in China celebrating Juneteenth? We need to find out what's really going on over there.
Once again, I want to thank William D. Frazier for allowing me to interview him. He, as one of the organizers, worked very hard to get this celebration off the ground and things like that. But I stopped here at this point because I wanted you guys to not only pay attention and listen to these interviews, but also, if you can, pay attention to the background. Yeah, it's kind of loud because I was interviewing them in the middle of the event, but I kind of want you guys to listen to this because you can just see that it was just pure joy. Right? Everyone was there to celebrate and have fun with each other. And it was not happening in America. It was happening in China. And for those of you that don't really know what that means, is that we're celebrating a holiday in a country that has nothing to do with American slavery that we know of and things like that. And so I want you guys to try and pay attention to this in every interview, because in every single interview, there is some type of background noise, something's going on, someone's talking and things like that. Please, please pay attention to it. The rest of the interviews will go uninterrupted. All right, guys, we are sitting here with Tamisha from Greenville, Mississippi. And I just want to also ask her, like, what does Juneteenth mean to you, and what does it mean to be able to celebrate Juneteenth in Shanghai?
Oh, my God. Juneteenth just kind of means that it's a time where we kind of got our freedom. I mean, like my shirt says, free-ish. We are not 100% free, but it's supposed to be the time that we recognize as where we gained our freedom. But even to this day, 2021, we are still just free-ish. It means the world to me to be here in China, of all places, celebrating Juneteenth. This is a place that I never, one, thought I would be, and two, definitely a place where I never thought so many of us would gather to celebrate such a great holiday, especially on the heels of such a momentous event with the recent passage of the holiday.
Yeah, so that was a great segue, because I wanted to ask you about the most recent thing that happened for Juneteenth, which is it being a national holiday now. So, like, do you feel like, is there any going to be anything different about Juneteenth now? Because in truth, Black people have been celebrating Juneteenth since we have been free-ish, you know.
My hope is that just if anything, that more people will begin to learn and study and educate themselves, even us as Black people, on the meaning of Juneteenth, what it is, why we celebrate. You know, I hope that we'll educate our kids about it, educate our grandkids, educate the younger generation. Because we know a lot of our history has either, one, been erased, or only the parts that are traumatic are the ones that we learn about it. So it's just, it's it's great. I'm glad, even though I know we are owed so much more, there's so many other wrongs that need to be righted, so many other mistakes that need to be fixed. But I guess you have to start somewhere in the race. It's a little late, but I guess like they say, better late than never.
All right, we are still here at the Juneteenth celebration in Shanghai, and right now I'm sitting with Gilbert from Ghana, and I'm just gonna ask him the same amount of questions that I ask everybody else. Is what does Juneteenth mean to you, man, and what does it mean to be able to celebrate Juneteenth?
Well, as an African, like a first generation African, yeah. Juneteenth, more of like, if I understand truly, right. It stands for the day that, you know, the bill was passed or it was signed into the fact that, you know, there was no more slavery that was gonna go on in Americas, right? Yeah, and I feel that it defines liberation. It defines the moment where chains were broken loose, that people can now be themselves, even in their own skin color. And the fact that we could do anything that we really want, mm-hmm. you know. So that's what Juneteenth really means for me.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, and all of those things you said are sort of right. But besides, like, one little small part, which is we actually celebrate Juneteenth because it was the last day that all slaves in America were free, right? So, like, people were mentioning in the event, like, people who are from Texas and stuff like that, because Texas was the last state in America to not have slaves anymore.
Okay.
Because Abraham Lincoln had wrote the Emancipation Proclamation in 1963, but those slaves in Texas didn't get free until 2.5 years later.
Yeah.
Right? So that's like the celebration of everyone is actually free at this point in time, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it means.
Thanks.
But,
thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem, man. But everything else you said, man, is completely right, man. So it is about being free and being able to do what you want to do and expressing yourself and stuff like that. And, like, me, man, I wanted to interview you because, like, sometimes, man, us as Black Americans, we kind of feel like we're in this thing on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels really good to have someone, no matter if you're first, second, third, it don't matter, man, if you're from the continent, man, who is also supporting us and celebrating with us and stuff like that. Because, believe it or not, I think this is not just African Americans, it's just everyone's history who is part of the diaspora and everything like that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let me give you a little scenario. Imagine you were in your own continent,
right.
Minding your own business. It doesn't matter whether you had precious minerals, the times you were using it as stones just to play. And then all of a sudden, some invader came and said that, okay, I'm capturing you all because I see that you are strong, you are powerful. So I'm taking you all the way to some place you don't know. Put you through absurd brutality.
Right.
I mean, as a father, every day will not go by that I don't think about my kids,
right,
or my brothers or my sisters. Every day will go by that I won't think,
right.
But if I get to know that even though they were captured, but where they are free, I mean, that should bring me some form of peace, you know what I mean? Yeah,
right.
So that's the scenario, I mean, that I can put in here. Like, if you think about it, that's basically the meaning of Juneteenth.
Yeah, and we choose to celebrate it however we want, but we choose this day right here, man, to celebrate Juneteenth for the people in America who are Africans who are slaves in America, right, on this day. And we celebrate their freedom, man. And I just want to ask you before we close out, man, is there anything else you'd like to say, man?
All right. So I'll say that, first of all, I'm pretty, pretty happy that I'm celebrating this. You know, even though I'm not American, but I'm the first Ken that is African, you know. And the fact that recently, I mean, the government of Ghana reached out to everyone that, you know, there's a new generation where we want every African out there in the diaspora to go back home.
Right.
At least, if you're not going back to live or to stay permanently, visit that place and then, you know, have that form of connection with your ancestors, you know.
Right.
So I believe that, as the last thing I'm going to say, that everyone, every African outside of Africa that know that they have that melanin popping in them,
right,
they should go back home and say hello, at least, to the ancestors.
You're absolutely right,
because they
man.
Did a lot of job.
Yeah.
They went through a lot for everyone out there.
You're right, and I've been doing my research and trying to figure out, like, when is the best time for me to go and things like that. I mean, research shows that if you are descendant of a slave from America, or even the Caribbean, or sometimes South America, you more than likely came from like West Africa, mostly Ghana, stuff like that, right?
That is very true, about 80%. 80%.
Me personally, I don't know where I came from, most likely Ghana, because of what research says and stuff like that. But I want to make my home going to Africa more special. So I want to do a, I plan to do a genealogy test.
Okay.
To see like where can I pinpoint my DNA to the most exact point possible. And then probably start my journey, my home going journey there. And then visit other countries and cities there.
All the best with that, bro. You're welcome every day, 24/7. We can't wait to have everyone on the continent.
I hope so. Yeah, but thanks again, bro.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sitting here with Kristen from Mississippi. And Kristen, I want to ask you, first, how long have you been in China?
I've been in Shanghai since 2017, so 4 years now.
Okay, cool. You're not that far away from me. I've been in here since 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you used to celebrating Juneteenth?
No, this is my first time.
Really?
First time celebrating it.
Your first time celebrating Juneteenth? Like in your whole entire life?
Whole entire life. I never heard about Juneteenth until like a few years ago. So first time, life.
All right. And so, I mean, like, it may be a little bit different than, you know, celebrating it at home. But how do you, like, what's your thoughts about Juneteenth? And like, how do you feel about celebrating it in Shanghai?
Celebrating in Shanghai, I didn't expect to celebrate it in Shanghai because we're in China.
Right.
So, you know, this isn't America. I would expect it to celebrate in America, but I think more people here are receptive to Juneteenth than back home.
Why is that?
No idea, but I actually had a conversation with a family member like 2 days ago and was like, why are you celebrating Juneteenth? And I was like, what do you mean, why not? And she was like, I don't celebrate that.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, I did not celebrate Juneteenth. I have not been celebrating Juneteenth my entire life. I attributed that to me being mostly from Chicago, which is like, you know, the northern part of the States. Because I have southern family who celebrate Juneteenth. Because they're from the South, stuff like that.
I don't have any family that celebrates Juneteenth, and I'm from Mississippi. That's the most southern you can get. That's the southern of all southern. I don't have any family that celebrates Juneteenth.
So that throws my theory out the way. So now I don't know why I haven't been celebrating Juneteenth.
But I think people in the South still have that, they call it that slave mentality. Mm. They ain't as open-minded.
Okay.
So that's what I think it is.
Okay, now we're sitting here with Xavier, and he is from Cameroon. So, Xavier, man, first, how long have you lived in China?
It's been 5.5 years now.
All right. And do you have, like, any friends or family back in America?
Not anymore. I have an uncle who lived in America for maybe 10 or 15 years even.
Okay.
Now he lives in the United Kingdom, States.
So what brings you to this Juneteenth event?
Well, I relate to it because I'm black, and for the eye of, let's say, that since we are in China, for Chinese people, at the end of the day, it's you're black, you're not black.
Right.
It's not about you're from America or you're from Africa, because when they look at you, they don't know where you are from.
Okay.
So relating to that, here I am.
All right. And so what does it mean to you to be able to celebrate Juneteenth?
It means, in a way, like, I have experienced discrimination.
Okay.
So I have had my struggles because I lived in Morocco and in South Africa as well. And South Africa has that history. So I got to experience discrimination in some ways when I was living there.
Okay.
In Morocco, it was pretty much the same as here in China. Maybe a bit more aggressive because they were going further than just thinking you're black and poor. They were actually calling us slaves.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They had that way to refer to black people by calling us slaves.
All right. May I ask you, what were you doing in Morocco?
I was studying. Morocco and South Africa, I was studying.
Did
2 degrees, one in Morocco, one in South Africa.
Okay. So what brought you to China?
I had family living here, and when I was finishing my studies in South Africa, I got one of my aunts saying, maybe you should try China.
Okay. Okay.
And I was open to that. I came and I saw and I stayed.
Yeah, and earlier, man, I bought one of your shirts that with the textiles and stuff on it, man. Yeah. So, like, let's just talk about that for a second. What got you into making these textiles?
I have been doing shirts and t-shirts since 2002.
Okay.
With the same name, Zafferway.
Okay.
So it's been a dream. It's been something I have been doing for a long time and I've always wanted to do, even if I had to put it on hold for some time. And living in China, and I think also growing up in terms of maturity, I got to approach the struggles from being black in a different way. Because before I was a student, here I became, I started working and I started being looked at as black person not being able to do this job or not qualified enough for this or that job.
Right.
And since the brand has always been my dream, I wanted to also show that, okay, you may think what you want to think about black people, but black people is also about creativity. And this is my way of showing I'm creative, I'm from Africa, with those small touches that are African prints or African type of designs on my clothing.
Hey y'all, well, that's the end of these interviews. I really wanted to give y'all something short and sweet. I hope you guys have learned something from this listening, and I hope you guys actually got a chance to go out and celebrate Juneteenth for yourselves. Remember, all of these interviews were happening on Juneteenth, the day of the actual holiday. However, this release of the interviews are weeks after that, so don't worry. You know, the things that they were talking about, some of them were, you know, in the moment on that day and things like that. There may be changes to who they are and what they believe and things like that, but I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Please stay tuned. Season 3 will be starting soon. Like I said, I got something cooking in the oven for you guys. But, man, have a wonderful, wonderful day wherever you are in the world. Thanks for listening again to the Black Book Podcast. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Black Book Podcast. To keep up with all things podcast related, visit our website at theblackbookpodcast.net to listen and subscribe. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode of the Black Book Podcast is sponsored by Anchor.fm, produced by Eric Charles, and the music is by King Bone to Dope. This is a Black-owned production. I'm just on a mission. I'm trying to live my dream.